following podcast is brought to you by ComicMonsters.com, part of the Horror News Network. We warn you, be afraid. Be very afraid.
So, welcome everybody to Comic Monsters Podcast number 19. This is our last of the weekly shows. Yay, everybody can celebrate now. Woo, no more interviews. Maybe next time we'll be back with some books to talk about. Rob and Dave are out this week. My prayers and thoughts with Rob as he's doing what he's doing. Dave, I don't know what you're up to, but I'll wish something good for you too. Instead, this week I am joined by CM Board contributor, talker, speaker for Texan. How are you?
Doing good.
All right, so let's dive right into the meat of this. As you know, what we do is we do a quick little recap. You were on the podcast a few weeks back anyways, but what we do is we talk about a few books that came out this week, and like I said, this is our last of the interview shows, and then we'll just throw it straight to the interview, and we'll go on our merry ways. So, anything you read this week you want to throw a mention to?
I read 5 different horror comics this week.
Sweet.
I've read Star Trek Infestation.
All right. What did you think of that?
I thought it was cool, but I liked a little bit of the sci-fi stuff. We kind of have zombies with the little flying your spaceship around technical jargon that sounds pretty cool.
I checked it out, too, and unlike you, I didn't finish it because I don't like Star Trek. Sometimes I went to see a movie or two, but never really enjoyed it or got into it. And within the first 4 pages, I had enough. And I don't think we had even gotten to the zombies at that point. It was just too much for me. That I was just like, I can't do this. I forced myself through the Transformers one. I don't think I could have forced myself through the Star Trek one.
Yeah, I'm not really a Trekkie, but I like sci-fi. It's like they went to this town, this planet, and then they're like, oh, crap. So that was cool. And the cover was awesome.
Yeah, I'll agree with you on that. Love the cover on that one. So I'll throw mention to my dud of the week, which is the Deadpool team-up 885, guest starring Hellcow. Hey, you call it Hellcow except for the fact that it's a vampire. I guess that makes sense from Marvel, right?
Well, the Hounds of Hell are dogs.
Yeah, true.
Vampires, but they don't... I don't know, it's Deadpool.
Did you read this one?
No, I didn't.
Okay, stay away from it.
Okay.
There's one, I will say this, there was one great scene where, and it's right at the beginning, where Deadpool just gets knocked in the face with an anvil, and it obliterates his face. You see an eyeball flying away. I mean, that was fantastic. And, you know what, I expect a cheese factor from Deadpool now. I really do. But this one had too much. You know how there's B-movies and then there's bad B... Like, you can have a good B-movie and you can have a bad B-movie. This is a bad F-movie. But I guess one thing to throw out there is any Monster Squad fans, they quote Monster Squad in this. That is just effing awesome.
Wolfman.
It is the Wolfman quote.
Right on.
But no, other than that, yeah, I mean, it's cheesy, it's stupid, it's Deadpool, but it's Deadpool gone just a little too far over the edge. There was like 20 movie quotes in this thing. 20.
I remember when Deadpool used to be funny.
I remember when Deadpool used to be nothing, because I was never technically into Deadpool, but nowadays when I know his cheese factor, I suppose. Ugh. Ugh.
What was that, Deadpool team-up?
Yeah, that was Deadpool team-up. So, I mean, I don't know how much you expect from Deadpool team-up.
Well, it starts with 1,000 and counts down, so you gotta know it's pretty...
They've already made 215 of them?
No, I guess they're just skipping around.
I guess that's part of the joke on the consumer, then.
Yeah.
Alright, what else? What's your next one?
The next one I read was... BPRD, Hell on Earth, Gods, number 2.
Okay.
To me, you know, 80% of this comic was talking heads. 20% was the other side of last issue's coin.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope it picks up next issue and actually goes somewhere. I was bored with this one.
It ends in the next issue.
Well, hopefully it picks up.
I don't know. The cover has a man with a floating peepee.
For number three?
Penis! No. On the cover of this one, upside down penis.
Oh, yeah. That gives you great power.
All right. Here's my deal with this. Don't put it number two on the cover if it's number 75. That pissed me off just initially because I think if I see a miniseries, I'm going to be able to pick up. I read number one, enjoyed number one, read number two. I was pissed off the whole time. I was like, why are you giving me so much that's already happened and I haven't read? You have a number two on the cover.
Yeah, I don't know.
That really, really, really pissed me off. Yeah, I agree with you. Yep, 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 yep. Yep, 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 yep. Oh, okay, that's where it picks up from last week. So you're bringing the two together? I was pissed.
Yeah, I was very bored with it.
Really? It was more let down. Everyone always, BPRD, Hellboy, you gotta check these out. I've been checking them out recently. I'm really disappointed.
Yeah, I checked this out because the first one said, number one, but then it had that number 72 or whatever inside.
Yeah.
So it makes you think it's a jump on point. Actually, it is, kind of, but you miss a whole lot of what's what.
Well, the last one was. I mean, there wasn't anything big. If you know who Abe Sapien is, he only shows up at the end, right? But
yeah.
This one...
He's an asshole.
Yeah, this one, it was just Abe and let me get his name here, and Andrew Devin just back and forth. Oh, we got a problem with you. Then they go into this story. Ugh. Ugh.
Yeah.
Disappointing. I imagine if you're a BPRD fan, it's fantastic. But for someone who's trying, you can't jump on, apparently.
Wake me up when part three gets here.
All right, I will. All right, my turn. Let's go with what I thought was probably the best read of the week, which was T-Rex. Tyrannosaurus Rex.
That was lovely.
And this is done by friends of CM, Mark Kidwell, Jay Photos, and Jeff Zorno. And it's a shame Rob's not here because I'm sure he would love to talk about this one, but I'll talk about it for him, and I will say this was just the most fun book that I read this week, probably one of the most fun I read in a while, and the beautiful thing about it is that it's a one-shot. It's a one-shot, so, and I don't say that's not that, I could easily pick up more issues of it, but I had just so much fun just sitting back reading this and just enjoying it. The visuals were great, the story was funny. What won't a man do for a little nookie, huh?
Exactly.
So, I don't know. What'd you think?
I liked it. I mean, I don't know how much I can talk about it without spoiling it.
Yeah. Yeah.
The visuals, just seeing the T-Rex doing his thing was pretty cool.
Yeah, I gotta say, I was kind of worried when I saw it solicited and everything because I didn't want it to just be a book about a dinosaur walking around. You know,
and
the way it was presented and the way it was done, hands up high, clapping, yay! Because I highly, highly enjoyed it. So what's next on your list?
Let's go with Victorian Undead.
All right, you're on your own on this one. Didn't read
Sherlock that. Holmes versus Dracula. Now I haven't read the first Victorian Undead series. I heard about it listening to Comic Monsters podcast, but this seems to be a standalone. You don't need to read the first one to read this one. It's a pretty cool vampire story with some detectiving thrown in. Issue number four, there's a lot of interaction with Dracula's wenches, and there's a lot of vampire killings, decapitations, all that good stuff. But it's picking up. It's Dracula comes to England and he wants to take over, rule, wipe out the queen and her family. He's kind of greedy.
So yay to it?
Yay to it. There's only one issue left and it started out kind of boring, but this thing's really picked up, I think.
So,
and also,
go ahead.
It was a Wildstorm book, and they kind of just moved it over to DC and kept it going, which is cool. It's kind of cool to have the DC logo on a horror book to kind of mix the horror in with the mainstream titles, kind of like in the 80s and stuff. You'd have the horror book DC Bullet on it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's part of the family now, so I like that.
Let's see. I want to throw some mention to some more that came out this week that I haven't had a chance to read yet because my actual books haven't come in yet. The Last Zombie number 4 came out this week. I can't wait to check that out. Haunt number 13 came out this week. I just saw another one, and now I've lost it. Crypt of Horror. If you read the Crypt of Horror stuff, give me a call. I want to know what they're about other than just reprints that are way too expensive. Oh, Hotwire number 3 came out this week, and I really want to read it. I'm going to go over to Radical and be like, where's my copies? Send them to me again. I'm tired of waiting.
Hackslash came out, too.
I was saving that for last, to be honest with you.
Okay, keep going.
No, I think that's all I'm seeing that came out. Walking Dead. Did you read Walking Dead this week?
I didn't. I'm a Walking Dead trade waiter, so I'm waiting for the trade.
Now, wait a minute. You said that Victorian Undead, that was the number 4.
Yes.
But it was a safe jumping on point?
Not number 4, but the series. You don't have to read the first Victorian Undead.
Oh, no, yeah, that was vampire-based.
No, it was vampire or
no,
zombie?
No, I'm sorry, zombie. I'm zoning out. All right.
Yeah.
Let's move on to Hackslash. Hackslash is now with Image, and we have our first Hackslash ongoing number 1.
Yes, we did.
You know what? I've been on this show, and I've said before that I'm not a big fan of Hackslash. I think one of the main things is that there's a lot of characters in this book, and it's hard to just have a jumping on point. Even with a reboot, even with My First Maniac and all that stuff, it's hard to find a jumping on point to not get lost. And I highly, highly applaud this issue in particular because it finally broke down the characters.
It did. You know, I've only read Me Without You before jumping on to this series, so I don't know anything. But I thought the 2 pages of bios did a decent job of telling you who's who.
So I enjoyed that. Story-wise, yeah, I liked it. I think knowing a little bit about these people instead of it just jumping around like, okay, there's Cassie and there's Vlad, and then, okay, now we're over to this, and now there's this girl playing detective, and now back to Cassie and Vlad. Now there's another lady who's doing the Black Flame stuff, and it was, I think without that, I would have just said, like usual, it's too much. It's too much and I can't jump on. I enjoyed it. There's one thing I don't enjoy about the book, and it's Pooch.
Yeah, what is that?
I don't like Pooch. I don't know. I liked it. There was this two amazing scenes in it that were like perfectly drawn. It's where the guy gets hit with the bat and the hot tub. I love the hot tub scene.
The hot tub is cool.
So, yeah, that's what I got to say about Hackslash. How about you?
Pretty much the same thing I got. You know, I don't really know much about. I don't know as much as you do, or have the experience reading other things, but it did a good job of throwing you in there. It gave you some arm floaties before they threw you the deep end.
Oh, and I want to throw mention to the backup done by Michael Morisi, Steve Seeley, Tim's brother, and J.M. Ringette. I can't remember how to say it. I talked to him last week, and they'll be on the discussions show this week, actually. It's a twofer if you're into the Hackslash Hoax Hunters stuff. I enjoyed Hoax Hunters, and I was really scared for Mike, because I've known him for a while. I was really scared for Mike when he told me it was going to be 3 pages, and I was like, oh no, I hope it works. And I thought it did. I thought they did a real good job to do it, so I hope that it continues to work, and then eventually Image will say, okay, let's give you a one-shot.
It was a nice setup piece. It was basically 3 pages to say, here's what we're going to do. So, next issue, we're going to get into it.
Well, next issue, you're going to get 2 pages. And then you're going to get 2 pages. And then you're going to get 2 pages and 2 pages and 2 pages. Yep. That's how it works.
or a backup feature that's kind of short.
That's what I think too, but you know, that's why it kind of scares me, because I like the guys that are involved in it. So I hope it really works, and you know what, being in the back of Hackslash really helps, because a decent amount of people pick up Hackslash.
Yeah.
So, all right. With that, let's throw it to the interview. This week, we talk to the anthology winners, Virus Comics. I sit down with Jason Crowley and Ju Gomez, and we talk about what it means to them to win and what they got on tap for 2011. And we also do a big amount of bullshitting for the most part. So, sit back and relax and enjoy it. I want to thank you, Vertexan, for coming on. And fill in the gap for Rob and Dave. Hopefully, and next week we will not be back. Next week is DanCon. If you're in Chicago, you better be at DanCon.
Be there or be square.
Be there or be square. That's right. All right. So for me, for Rob, Dave, and for Texan, I want to thank everybody for tuning in this week. I hope you stick around, enjoy what Ju and Jason have to say. And like I said, we'll be back in 2 weeks to go down another list of some sort. So thanks, guys. So, we are on our fourth interview with the winners for ComicMonsters.com's 2010 Horror Awards, as voted by the fans. And with me tonight are the winners for Best Anthology, Jason Crowley and Ju Gomez. Congrats, guys!
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, let's start. I mean, what does it mean to win Best Anthology?
It's a great thing, you know. I mean, just to be nominated to start with was something special, you know, just to be up against all those other big name companies and everything else. So it's huge for us, massive, you know, and being voted for by the fans. It just goes to show at the end that, you know, money doesn't always talk, but the fans know what they want. So we have to say a big thank you to them.
Yeah, this is a special book. It's, you know, everything that Jason wanted to do in this book was, you know, all him. He wanted to write it. You know, he did a lot of, you know, painstaking story work for it. And when we got nominated, I was like, you know, I was on a high. I was like, oh, wow, this is beyond cool, because, you know, it just tells you that the fans want what we got. It's, you know, and that makes 2 years worth of work seem, you know, really good.
Cool. I mean, okay, so what does it mean? I mean, would it have been different if, like, me or Rob had chosen the winners compared to winning by popular vote?
You know, I mean, at the end of the day, it's the people out there that are buying the books that voted for it. So, I mean, for that amount of people to go there and vote for it shows that, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are reading their books and they like what we're doing. So, to us, that's the main thing about it.
Yeah, we sell out. Not only do we, you know, we do well on the internet, we also sell out, like, when the book first came out, I had a few copies, and I sold them within a week to people out here just that wanted them. And, you know, I mean, it just tells you that everybody is looking for something that the comic, you know, industry, you know, is lacking. And that's us, you know, Virus Comics.
And I mean, I completely agree with that. And as I've said, you know, numerous times about you guys winning this, it really shows that you don't have to be a big dog to get fucking respect.
Exactly.
So, I mean, and like I've said, I mean, kudos to you guys. I mean, I'm glad I got you nominated, and I'm glad you took home the bacon. So, how many times did your moms vote?
Well, only once, because you're only allowed to vote once. So we can't blame it on them. We can't say that's why we won, you know.
Yeah.
It was a fair vote.
Yeah, it was fair, because we were neck and neck with God. Who was it, Jason? It was Bela Lugosi book or something.
Oh, sure, yeah, that was the big one,
yeah,
right?
We were like neck and neck, and I didn't think we were going to win. And then all of a sudden, you know, Jason said, "Hey, we won." I was like, "Wow," you know. And the fans really voted. Facebook really did a lot of, you know, pushing that book. I mean, every time that we, you know, did a status update, it was always, you know, go, you know, go check out Bloke's Tomb of Horror Annual, you know. And stuff like that. And, you know, it's just the fans that really enjoy that kind of stuff. I mean, when Jason made that book, you know, everybody wanted it, because, you know, they couldn't believe how big it was and then how it looked. And, you know, the cover and then the stories were phenomenal and the artwork was fantastic.
One thing I want to say is, you know, and it shows not only, you know, and when you tell people, hey, you've been nominated for this, you know, tell people to vote for you. I mean, you guys really made a huge push, and now you can, like, you know, now you can throw it on all your books, you know, award-winning, two more.
Yeah, I think that's an ad that's going to be in the Sonic 4 that's going to be out February the 9th. Just tomorrow, but I think we started doing that all of a sudden. I was proud to have it in the book. It's really cool.
So let's talk 2011. I mean, how do you come down from the high of the success?
Well, I mean, like you said just now, we've got Son of Six number 4 that's going to be shipping out this week from Kablam, and then that should be up for sale on Indie Planet hopefully sometime next week. Currently, I'm working on Bloke's Tomb of Horror 666, which I'm hoping to have out the end of March time. That's going to have like 7 stories in that one. We've actually got multiple covers on that one as well, just taking full advantage of the old 6 number. So, you know, 6 sounded a bit boring, so being a horror anthology, I thought 666 sounded a bit better. So what better way than to have 6 covers as well? So, you know, everyone can go out and choose which one they like the best, or collect them all. I've always good for us, so.
You should collect them all.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you know, if you see the actual ad for the covers and that, you'll see there's a lot of different ones on there, so a lot of different styles and that as well, especially the ones coming over from Italy. So, you know, we've got a lot to show on that book.
Yeah, Bloke's Tomb of Horror 666 will have 6 different covers because, you know, Jason likes to do things a little crazy. And all these covers are unique covers. Some, you know, most of them are painted covers from some well-respected Italian artists that, you know, we've known for a while. And we also have a book that I'm hoping comes out sometime this year, but we're not sure because we're trying to, you know, watch what we do and stuff like that this year instead of, you know, just going hog wild crazy and not getting any sleep and having a life and stuff and having our wives leave us. We're hoping to get The Horror 2 out, which is going to be it's part of it's drawn by me and part of it's drawn by The Fern and Fernando. And he is, we have guest starring Chainsaw Sally. Is going to meet The Horror and, you know, chop him in half or something like that. I'm not sure. But, you know, we got a lot of stuff going on. And plus, we have the Bloke's Tomb of Horror Annual 2 coming out.
Now, I've seen pictures of this Chainsaw Sally, but who is she?
She is, well, she's kind of, she has her internet thing. It's a, she plays a character. She had a couple movies done. I think she's a talk radio show hostess on Fangoria. I'm not sure about that, but that's what I've heard so far. She's really cool, really nice. They've supported Virus Comics ever since Son of Six 2. She actually did a spread for us holding the book and all that, and that was really cool of her to do that. And so we wanted to do something nice for her and, you know, just get her in the book. And the way that Fern's drawn it, I mean, it looks just like her. I mean, if you go to the websites or you go to Facebook, you know, with Jason or me, you know, anywhere, and you know, look up The Horror too, you'll see all the artwork. It looks fantastic.
So now, go ahead, Jason.
I was just going to say, talking about Chainsaw Sally as well, one of the stories that's in issue 666 is Dr. Bang versus Nurse Hatchet. And the Nurse Hatchet character is actually the woman who does the special effects in the Chainsaw Sally show. And Dr. Bang is actually a character by Lyndall Ferguson who's doing the artwork. And we're honored to be bringing him back into comic form because he's been away for quite a while now. And Nurse Hatchet is actually her first appearance in a comic. So we've got like 2 sort of side things going on with the Chainsaw Sally thing. So that's pretty cool.
It's going to be cool, man.
Now, if they do this, what did you say, Fangoria?
Yeah.
If they work for Fangoria, is that like a cross promotion? Will Fangoria do something special for you guys?
We're not sure because we haven't really pushed that because I don't like doing stuff like that, like saying, oh, you know, we did this for you. You know, you do this for us. I don't really like doing that. I thought about, you know, sending them our books and seeing what they think, and maybe they put, you know, a lot of times they review comics, especially horror comics, and that's all that we do. So, you know, I'm thinking about that right now, but, you know, as it looks, I don't, you know, we've never talked about it yet.
Okay. And, I mean, and still, that would be really cool. I mean, and even if it wasn't something where you, well, like you said, you're not pushing it. If they did it on their own, or if she promoted the hell out of it on her show, I mean, that'd still be really cool for you guys and really cool for the book.
Yeah, it would. It'd be neat.
So how are we looking in terms of, you know, as a company? The last time we talked, we were still just, you know, getting rid of books left and right. How's things looking now?
Things are going really well still. You know, we've got some sales going on Indie Planet. We did originally plan on trying to meet up somewhere this year at a convention for the first time, but unfortunately plans fell through with that down to money and other situations going on. But Jude's going to be doing quite a big convention later on this year as well, which I'm sure he'll tell you about in a minute, the Texas Comic Con. So, you know, we'll still be out there at a large convention. I won't be there, but I'll be there in spirit, just not in bloody soul.
Yeah, I'm going to have his picture on the table. I'm going to have it with me so everybody can see it, and, you know, I'll take some pictures of it. And we're going to have some of the books from our annual ones there also. So if anybody wants to come see me at the Texas Comic Con, that's at the San Antonio Event Center. I think it's June the 24th, 25th, and 26th. I'm not sure. But if you want to come out there, just, you know, buy a book. It'd be probably one of the only times they're going to be able to get the books, you know, to Mahara annual, you know, for me, you know, anyway, but, you know, without going through any planet and all that other stuff, you know.
Yeah, save some shipping.
yeah, shipping
Oops,
is what kills.
Say that.
Oh, you said it. I heard it.
Yeah, the shipping kills.
In terms of that, you know, we've spent time, you know, talking behind the scenes. How are things going in terms of being an independent guy trying to, you know, print your own stuff?
Jason?
Anybody?
Well, I'll tell you this. When it's like I told, we were talking about this before. When me and Jason first met, we shared this big love for horror comics, and we decided to just, you know, 1, 2, 3, and just, you know, bang them out like crazy. You know, all I do is draw, and I'll come up with some ideas, but Jason does a lot of the work, you know, like almost, you know, 80% of the work is done by Jason alone. You know, he puts together the book, he does the lettering, he does everything about it. And occasionally he'll call me and go, hey, what do you think? You know, that'll be it. But it's just like we're going on year 3 now, and we haven't stopped. You know, we're still going pretty strong. And, you know, a lot of people, there were some people that said, oh, you know, you're not going to be able to finish, you know, year 3. And, you know, we're proving them wrong right now. I think we've got like 6 books coming out this year, probably 7 with the books annual 2. And that one's going to be a little bigger than 100 if I'm correctly thinking about that.
Okay.
Sorry about that, Paul. My dog was jumping at me. I was covering my mic. I didn't think you'd want to hear what I was saying. And now the phone's going off in the background. I hope you can't hear that. So.
No.
I should have kept my mouth shut then.
I barely gave myself
it. Let's add him into the call.
Nah, it's probably a bill collector.
Well, let's talk in terms of you've been doing some printer searching. How's that working out for you?
Yeah, I mean, I've been looking around trying to find some other options and that for when we print this year's annual. So, you know, I've had a couple of responses, and that's something I need to look into. And it looks like this year's annual is going to be a bit bigger than last year's anyway, with the sheer amount of stories that are going to be in it. So, you know, it's still something I'm looking into. So, you know, I'll just like keep my eyes peeled on that and do a few more searches around and see what sort of deals I can come up with, because I mean, at the end of the day, the more money we can save, the better it is on us, and then we can like put that extra save money into producing more books. So at the end of the day, that's what it's about.
So we'll be like 80 doing this crap until one of us dies or something.
Now let me ask, because you know, at this point you guys have a very big catalog, and we've talked about this before. I mean, you, like you said, this is year 3, you know, and with the amount of books that you've got backing you, Is it a thought to maybe do half the books and put the money towards doing some of the shows to start getting some word out and stuff like that? Or
that would probably be a good idea. For me personally, I mean, I've had to like cut back on some of the plans. I had to do things for this year anyway due to a financial thing. So, but I mean, yeah, what you're saying about the shows and that's, you know, that's definitely something we've got to do. And it's just a real shame that things fell through where I couldn't make it down to Texas in June for the Comic-Con. So, I mean, that would have been cool, but it's just the way things go sometimes. The gods are against us at the moment, so.
Yeah, they're against us. We're going to, you know, kick their asses back. It don't matter. You know, they can bitch, moan, and scream all they want. They're not going to fuck with us at all. Excuse me, I shouldn't have said that word.
Anyway. It doesn't matter. Didn't you see some
okay, cool.
people who were up for awards? Best, what was it? Best kill was a guy getting mouth raped by a knife. So no, on this podcast you can say whatever you want.
Oh, cool. Fuck yeah. Yeah, Loud Comics. Fuck y'all. Yeah, woohoo. Yeah,
bloody hell, Governor.
Yeah, bloody hell. Yeah, we're going to do the... I'm going to be doing that Texas Con, and that's a pretty big one. It's also on Facebook, too, if you guys want to look at it. And that is going to have a lot of... I think Margo Kidder's going to be there and a couple other people from Halloween, too. I'm not sure. God, I'm trying to think in my head who all is going to be there. They did have Darth Vader, the guy that was lifted by Darth Vader in the first movie. That was kind of funny to see him. You know, to be known for that for the rest of your life, you know?
Now, Jason, let me throw this to you because, mm-hmm. you know, up in your area, and I don't know if Texas is anything like Illinois, but you guys have a lot of horror shows on the East Coast.
We do, yeah. There's quite a few of them. The trouble is, you know, again, it's just the cost of the tables. I mean, okay. I've looked into a few of them, so...
I didn't know if a horror show table runs, like, the same rate as a comic book show.
Well, I mean, I won't give any names on that on conventions or anything like that, but one of the ones I used to go to, I checked into one of their vendors' tables, and they wanted, like, $300. So, I mean, if I can't afford $200 for a comic convention, I sure can't afford that.
You need a comic convention like DanCon, my friend.
We do indeed, mate, you know.
You got to put it on.
You need to go on the show. Bring it over to Virginia.
We're going to be the next Wizard World.
Be the first mobile comic convention.
That'd be cool.
Just
That'd
have
be
a little,
cool.
Have a little trailer. That would be
yeah,
it.
Do tours.
We'll just have a little trailer.
Well, you'll fit right in Virginia then.
Oh, God, you're dead now, Jason. Everybody from Virginia just heard you going, what did that English guy say?
Oh, goodness. So other than the one big show, Jew, any other big ones? I know Texas has a few decent-sized shows.
Yeah, there's one that I was talking to Jason about that's, I think, at the end of April or May. It's that it's one of the biggest in Dallas horror shows. It's God, Jason, I forgot the name of it. You know what I'm talking about?
No, sorry, I missed what you were saying.
Oh no, we're talking about that horror convention in Dallas.
Texas Frightmare.
Yeah, Texas Frightmare. Thank you. Yeah, I was thinking about that one, but like Jason said, these tables. I mean, these guys make their money on tables, and you know, more power to them. You know, it's great. But it's just the sheer thing of getting everything together, getting all the books, getting everything. I mean, I am looking at that one, but I'm not, you know, too sure about it yet. So right now, I mean, the main one that I'm going to do is the Texas Comic Con, and that one's pretty huge. I mean, that's 3 days, and
okay.
Everybody goes to that one. I mean, everyone.
Is that a wizard show?
Actually, I'm not sure. My friend Chris Kidd was putting it together. He's the one that's in charge of it, and he did one last year that was just, I mean, it was so big, I think he didn't realize how big it became within the second day. And then this one coming out, they're supposed to have, like, I think one of their acts is supposed to be the Evil Dead women are going to be there, you know, 30 years of Evil Dead.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. They're supposed to be there, too, so, you know, just to go see that would be kind of cool, you know? So
oh,
this
yeah.
one's going to be pretty big.
Now, in terms of, let me ask you this, and you know, as horror guys, do you notice a difference? I mean, even in just going to the shows, because I know Jason, you've gone to the horror shows before. Mm-hmm. What do you notice as the difference in terms of horror comics at a horror show compared to a comic book show?
I don't know. Put me right
that
on the spot there.
which
excuses, I'm not feeling too good. You know, I'm a bit under the weather, so I'm a bit slow tonight.
Which show would you think you would do better at? Would you think you'd do better at a horror show where what you're selling is horror and it totally fits, except for the fact that people might be there for movies or shirts or stuff like that? Or would you think that you'd do better at a comic book show, except for the fact that you're selling a book that, one, you're not a big-time publisher, and two, you're not selling superheroes?
I don't know. I guess on paper you would say the horror convention, but, you know. I mean, I've been in the vendors' rooms before and at a lot of those sort of shows, and they're normally packed out. So at the end of the day, I mean, if you can afford to get a table at a place like that, I'm sure you'll make your money back. So, Yeah, I mean, obviously, I mean, like the comic conventions and that as well. On a good day, you could really hit back. I guess it just depends because, you know, some of them are more superhero orientated and then others are more towards the horror genre and that. So I guess it really depends on each individual convention.
Sure.
Hello?
Yeah.
Well, everybody got quiet, man. I got scared. Thought y'all me off it or something. I was going to say, yeah, man, have you been to a comic convention? Those guys hold their wallets tight. They're tight, man. They want superheroes and girls with big boobs. It's all they want. And they're, you know, they're like, is that a big boobie? You know, we have big boobs on our book. We have big boobies. Look at, there's Blokes to Mahar. God, my favorite story is something that Jason said, look, I'm going to cover all the bad stuff. And it's one of those stories. You know what I'm talking about, Jason, that one story that I love in, is it number six
issue
or
five.
Number five? Issue five, yeah. The man, yeah. You want to see some boobies and ass? Get that one, guys. But in horror conventions, when people are, you know, in the horror conventions, I mean, of course they're going to come up to the Virus Comics table, you know, and buy everything we got because I don't think they realize, you know, how many horror comics they are out there. I mean, you got your zombie shit that's running around, but now, you know, it's like Blokes to Mahar is like an anthology that works. And not many publishers can say that their anthology, you know, has won such a, you know, prestigious award like this, you know? I mean, we must be doing something right.
One thing I really like that you said was the stingy factor at a comic book show. They are very stingy. Where I hear at a horror show, everybody's just there to celebrate horror.
Well, I mean, exactly. As well, I mean, if they're willing to pay $50 to some actor to have a photo taken with them, I'm sure they'll give me $5 for one of my books.
Yes. And if you guys go look at tombofblog.com, you'll see all those pictures with Jason and all those horror guys. I wonder how much money he spent to get every picture there.
Actually, most of those pictures were for free.
It's because of your accent, man.
But that was like I paid $20 for him to sign something as well.
Yeah. When I saw the Halloween girls there, I saw the new Halloween movie, the Rob Zombie one. He's with all of them, and he has that smirk on his face in that picture. I'm like, that little bastard, get his little English accent, and they all went, oh, my God, he's so good. I love him so much.
Yeah, it was funny because when I had that picture taken, my wife didn't have a smile on her face. So it was her as well.
We're gonna die.
Did it come out,
man?
Okay? She goes, look, you've had one photo taken. It doesn't matter if it came out. That'll do. Okay.
You better be careful, Jason. Yeah. Because Mary became the bride, and you know she's a comic book character, and I do believe she kicked your ass in the annual.
Shh. That's enough.
Yeah, think about that for a minute. I do believe the end of that story was your head going someplace that was just very lovely.
No, that's just an everyday occurrence. So.
Yeah, that's the Bride of Bloke, man. That was an excellent story. I love that story.
Let's go back to what we have coming out in 2011, and let's give a sales pitch on each book for people to check out.
Okay, well, I mean, the next one out is going to be Son of 6-4. That should be shipping this week. Then after that, we've got Bloke 666.
What's it about? Tell me what.
I'll let you tell you that one. He's the best one to explain with that one.
Well, the Son of 6-4 goes to the, you know, it's about a serial killer named Son of 6 who's avenging his wife against these two entities, Smothered Bleeds and Black Mass. So far in issue 3, he's actually killed one, which is Black Mass, and now in issue 4, you know, he goes through a little bit of a transformation to where he has to become the undead to destroy the Queen of Dead Souls. So, I mean, it's a complicated story, but in the end, yeah, I've had people read it and say, you know, I really don't know what's going on, but I think it's a love story. So right now I'm just telling everybody it's a love story. I'm going with that. It's just a sick, twisted little love story that's going to end badly. Issue 6, everybody dies.
Okay. And I can say from reading Son of 6 that I thought they started a little confusing, but they made more sense as they went along.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Dan.
Well, you're welcome. And I know that, and plus, you know, when I read them, you had already kind of explained to me exactly, you know.
Yeah. But, I'm going to start putting a little disclaimer on everyone. You know, they can call me at my house and I'll explain it to them. As they see by the book. You know, it's real hard to come up with a love story and make it look good. Come on, guys.
It's true.
Yeah, love stories don't work unless you have, like, Matt Damon in there. And, you know, he's not Son of Six material.
Maybe he's death material.
That's true.
All right, tell me about 666.
All right, yeah. Blokes Tomb of Horror 666 should be out at the end of March. Like we've already said, it's going to have like 6 different covers on it. That one's going to have 7 different stories in now. 3 of them are written by myself, and then 4 are by other writers as well. We've got a mixture of some great artists in now from here in the US and also over in Italy. And like I mentioned before, that features the story Dr. Bang versus Nurse Hatchet, featuring Lyndall Ferguson's Dr. Bang character returning back to comics, and the debut comic appearance of Nurse Hatchet. So that's it.
That's
and then, after, you know, that's going to be out around the end of March time. So
okay.
And later on in the year, like you said, you know, there's a couple of other projects as well which may see the light of day sometime this year, like The Horror 2, Son of Six, Number 5, I know he's drawing and inking at the moment. And then the big one for us again, like this Halloween, will be the Blokes Tomb of Horror Annual Number 2. That one's going to feature...
Say again? No, it
takes a lot.
I'm actually doing a story in this one in pencil, and I'm like really nervous about it and stuff like that, and because I've never done pencil without inks, and I don't want people to look at my stuff and go, "Man, he's confusing." Period. You know, but yeah, I'm you know, it's a big book. It's a big book because, you know, Jason's got to sit there, you know, and put everything together the way it's supposed to look, and then I have nothing to do with it. I've done my part. I did the, you know, I'm the bitch that does the work, and I send it to him, and then he's the guy that, you know, is at the, you know, the chains doing everything else. I'm sure his wife loves me for that. You know, she probably hates my guts, actually. You know, I wish you never would have met this fucking bastard 2 years ago. That's what she probably said a couple times.
But, I mean, the big treat for us with this upcoming annual this year is going to be the inclusion of artist Mike Hoffman. So, I mean, you couldn't really ask for anyone better than him to be illustrating one of my stories. So that's a great honor for me and a great honor for Virus Comics as a company to have him involved. So.
And for people who don't know Mike Hoffman, Mike has worked on Swamp Thing. He's worked on... Well, he's done his own stuff, which is just fantastic to begin with. He worked on Doomed. What else? What am I forgetting? I know I'm missing a big one.
Well, he worked with the Cavewoman people, Bud Root. Is that his name? He was with their company a couple times. He did that Octo-Woman and a couple other one-shots. So I think I have one of them.
And he's worked with Enrique before?
Yeah, he's done a lot of work with Enrico. That's actually how I got in contact with him because I published one of his Justine stories in issue number 5, Death Walks with Justine. And when I contacted him to ask permission to like republish the work again after Enrico sent it to me, he said, "Yeah, sure, good luck." So once that book came out last December, I sent him a copy of it. And I also sent him a copy of the 2010 annual. And they sent me an email saying he received the books. Thanks a lot. Really appreciate my story being first in now. And, you know, I love the annual, and one of his favorite stories in there was Invasion of the Slag Maggots, which was the sci-fi style story. And,
I love that story.
Yeah. I told him I'd actually written the story with Maurizio in idea for the artwork. Maurizio Urkel drew the story, and I said I knew he could pull off the sort of story I wanted to do with his artwork, which is very reminiscent of like 1950s sci-fi retro artwork. And Mike replied back saying, "Oh, I didn't realize you wrote all the stories as well." And I said, "Yeah," I said, "I did it all myself." And he said, "Wow." He said, "Send me a story and I'll do the artwork." So after I picked my jaw up off the ground, I sent him over one of the stories that I planned on doing for like this upcoming annual. And he said he loved it. And he said he'll get the artwork done soon for me. And I contacted him last week and said, you know, there's no rush on the story sort of thing. He said, "Oh, I plan on doing it in a couple of days' time." And then last Friday night, he sent me an email. He said, "Here you go, 10 pages of artwork." I thought, Jesus Christ. So, yeah, and he actually managed to do all 10 pages in 3 days. And he told me we'd done it in 2 if it wasn't for the blizzard that hit where he was living.
He's
and he had to go and shovel his car out for a while. So.
He's lying about that, just so you know. When I asked him about doing the Decapitated Dan, oh, that's the big thing for me. He did my Decapitated Dan image.
Uh-huh.
But when I asked him to do that, I had it back within 10 minutes. I swear to God.
Yeah, well, he told me that he did the first 5 pages of Witness from the Grave, which is the title of the story. He said he did the first 5 pages in 1 day.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing. Because, I mean, I've got the previews of the first 2 pages up on my Facebook page now. And by looking at it, you wouldn't think it had been done as quick as that. I mean, the guy's just really amazing in what he does. And I can't thank him enough for what he's done for us.
And if he's listening to this, we should just hint, maybe a bloke's song to go with the book.
Yeah, that would be pretty sweet. Yeah, definitely.
That's awesome. That is really awesome. And you know, I've said it before. I mean, I love what you guys do. I love the fact that you love horror and you don't stray away from it for one second. And it's just it's to the bone on you guys, and I love it.
It's in our blood, man. It's in our blood.
Yes, a lot of love. A lot of love, Dan. Are you like touching yourself when you said that?
No, but okay. Hold on a second. You know how on Facebook, if you send someone a message nowadays, you get these like two pictures that you get like four pictures that show up, and they're like of your friends. Oh, did you see your friend posted this picture and this picture yet? And sometimes they're a little repetitive. I keep getting pictures of Jew in a Speedo. That just continuously show up.
No, I thought that picture was reserved for very special friends. You know,
yeah,
what's going on?
Very friend. Yeah, thanks a lot, Dan. I appreciate that. That's a good one.
I hate to bring it up because I swear once a day I see those pictures.
That's sad, isn't it? You didn't go check out my other pictures, did you? Because I'm gonna start getting really freaked out if you did.
No, I did.
Okay, good.
I got one thing that
bloke saw, and he got really upset with me. He couldn't believe that I was that naked. And what was that thing? It's called the Good Old Days, is what it's called. There was some pictures, you know, pre-bodybuilding days, and Jason was making fun of me because, you know, he's jealous. And, you know, it's just one of those, you know, if I had his accent, it'd be perfect. It'd be so perfect. But, you know, I'm real dark, too, so, you know, I can't pull that off like he can.
Now you're gonna have a flood of people looking at your page.
Yes, come look at me, love me. That's what we do at Virus Comics. We pimp each other out until the bitter end.
Well, if it's gonna get more people to buy our comics, I'll pose in the Speedo with a Union Jack on it.
What have we got in terms of marketing for 2011? Are we taking any new approaches business wise?
Well, we've got Jew in his underwear.
So. Yeah, we're gonna do underwear and condoms and, you know, vibrator love toys, shit like that. Blokes to Mahara, you know, death vibrator, you know, one time will get you going. Of course, it'll be the last time.
Get a poke from the bloke.
Yeah. Yes, we got a bloke blow up doll coming out. That could be a good one. It's gonna be
complete
a good one
with really jagged teeth to like nibble on your earlobe like a British person.
We've gone from horror interview to
porn.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because if you think about it, you think about all these people that do horror, and you think they're all like, you know, they try and get this image of being all dark and, you know, shit like that. I mean, Jason, we just have fun, and I think that's what people see in our books, is that we have this much fun doing this stuff. You know, just thought I'd throw that out there.
Oh, yeah.
Being perverted helps as well.
Yeah, being perverted really helps. It does. It does, you know. I'm a big pervert. My wife just can't believe I'm a pervert half the time. I come up with weird things, and she'll look at it, and she'll go, "What in the fuck did you do?" Oh, okay, I see it now. You know, I didn't see her like that, you know. I'm surprised I'm still married.
Oh, goodness.
This is fun.
I won't end the interview on that. Jeez, I can't get you to talk about something else.
our wives need to give a shout out too, Dan, because they put up with all our shit. You know, it's Jason's wife. I'm sure Jason does a lot of work away from his wife, and you know, and I'm sure his wife would like to castrate me and hang me on a wall. But you know, I mean, I appreciate everything that Jason does, and you know, my wife, she puts up with, you know, hours of me being in, you know, drawn and, you know, staying up late and doing stuff like that away from her. You know, I mean, they're the people that, you know, you don't see, you know, in the comics. You know, without them, you know, behind us, you know, we probably wouldn't be this good.
Exactly. I mean, my wife's out shopping at the moment, so just going to give a big shout out to you, baby. I love you so much. And when you get home tonight, we're going to reenact the end of the Bride of Bloke story.
Hey, wait. I got to. My wife's at work right now too, and she's all, you know, she's in school too, and you know, I just want to say I love you very much. Thanks for putting up with all my shit, and you know, thanks for calling me a perv this morning. It was very nice.
And if I could just say also as well, I mean, thanks to everyone who, like, supported us and bought the books throughout 2010. You know, also, each and every one of you went and voted for the book in the Comic Monsters Awards. If it wasn't for you guys, we wouldn't be able to do what we're doing. So thanks very much, and we'll carry on doing what you like to see.
Now, I haven't asked you guys yet. Are you up for Eagle Awards?
No, no.
Okay.
No, no, no.
Now that, no. You might want to go look, because when I was going through the list of nominees last night, I noticed some people on that list, honestly, who I was completely surprised because they weren't, like, Marvel or DC, you know, no big companies. I mean, completely, like, independent, they do it themselves, guys. So you might want to look, because I don't know how they came up with their list.
I mean, is that like the UK-based place?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I thought so, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll look into it.
That'd be cool.
And I don't know how, and from what I read, just so you know, from what I read, it's right now it's like whoever gets the most votes, maybe like the top 5 or top 10, they'll be the actual nominees for the awards. But you really might want to take a look into it, because I really think they might have seen the Comic Monsters Awards and put everyone who was on that list, who we had up on their list. So you might want to just take a look at it and see what's going on over there.
Okay, well, thanks for the heads up. I'll go and check that out.
Oh, no problem. So, well, let's wrap it up with that. I want to congratulate both of you guys once again for, one, producing an amazing book for everyone to enjoy. Hopefully the people who maybe voted for one of the other books have a chance to pick up the Tomb of Horror Annual. And, I mean, for me, I think it's just perfectly deserved. I think not only does it, one, pay homage to the fact of what you guys are doing and what was contained in that book, but it also shows that through hard work and really caring about your product, you can succeed and you can win, and you can stand up there head to toe with the best of them.
I couldn't say it better myself, and I just want to say a big thank you to you, Dan, for like nominating the book in the first place. You know, you've been a big supporter of our work for the last couple of years, and thank you for that. So, and also Comic Monsters, thank you very much, and the fans of Virus Comics, thanks so much for the support.
Yes, Infected, thank you so much. And Dan, thanks for always, having our backs with everything that we do, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, you know what? Like I said, I love what you guys do, and you've got a title to defend.
Yes, we do, and we're going to defend it well. You know,
we shall be there with our 11 Tales of Terror in the Bloke's Tomb of Horror, number 2. Check it out this Halloween. It's coming for you.
And let me ask you this: Is there a way for them to possibly pre-order?
At this point in time, I'm not too sure, because, like I mentioned earlier on, I haven't exactly settled on where it's going to be printed yet. So,
okay.
I mean, news on that will be coming out as soon as I know.
Okay, that's the last thing I wanted to ask you. So again, guys, congratulations! You know, it's perfectly well deserved. I honestly think, out of all the people who are up for Anthology, honestly, the best two guys won it.
Thank you, Dan.
Yes, Blokes Tomorrow, man. Blokes Tomorrow. Woo!
We shall be back.